Okay, wasn't sure of the title there. This is Vocal Profiling Live on VBS Radio. I'm your host, Sherry Edwards, along with Tall Blonde Heather.
Hi, everyone.
Hi. What have you been doing this week, Heather? We always have some announcements from you.
You know, we talked a little bit a couple weeks ago about kicking off our weight loss study, and that's really going full swing now. And we have our alpha test subject with us tonight to talk a little bit about that, Nikki. And we're making some really big steps in the right direction with that, I think.
So if people want to help us out with that, they can...
contact me, and I'll let you know how to get involved. It's a short form to fill out, and you send in our vocal prints, your vocal prints, and we'll get you started and hopefully lose a little bit of weight along the way and gain a whole lot of knowledge and happiness.
Do we really want to say lose weight? Because it's like you want to find it again.
How would you put that?
Weight management?
Ideal. Your ideal weight.
Your ideal weight? Well, according to the insurance tables, Bill is overweight, and he's just a stick.
Overweight? I would never have thought that.
Well, he's supposed to weigh, according to them, 185, and he weighs like 206 or something. But he doesn't have anything to lose except his lips, maybe, because it's not bad anywhere else.
Well, when you're talking insurance companies, they have a different definition for a whole lot of things.
Today on the show, we're going to continue our talk about relationships and what should or should not be included, and that's the invoice program that we have created. We have classes for that. Do you have the schedule?
We've got invoice classes coming up. Our next one is going to be this Friday, if you'd like to be involved with that. The invoice is a real special program we're proud of here at Sound Health. If you go to NutriSounds.com on the homepage there, that'll show a picture of our kit and a little bit of explanation of what's included and how to get started and also the schedule on that. So if you're interested in getting started, contact myself or call the office here, 740-698-9119. Like I said, the next class is this Friday, so hurry up if you'd like to be involved.
You probably should spell that NutraSoundsForum.com.
N-U-T-R-A Sound, S-O-U-N-D-S.com.
Okay, and we're going to be talking a bit about these classes, because you're putting some of them on film, aren't you?
We just started filming today, the first in our instructional series videos from Sound Health with our very well-informed, beautiful Jessica as your host.
Oh, thank you.
Jessica joins us tonight. We're really happy about that.
Hello, everyone.
for part of our panel, and we're going to talk about what you really want in a mate, and that's right back to the invoice program again, because we can help people find their ideal, and so many times people just settle for what they find at the local bar or somebody introduced you. And we're really going to explore with this computer program and with the panel tonight what people really want in a mate. This comes from a research project that we're doing here at the Sound Health Institute using this program that we've been using this program since the 70s, but in the beginning it was just all manual and we looked at it, now it's all computerized. So with six clicks of a button, we can do an evaluation of how compatible you are with the person that you're with, and it gives you a 3 to 4 page profile of who you are using your own voice. You can't lie to yourself.
You should also mention that we're eventually going to go online with this, hopefully in the next couple of months, so we're working pretty hard on getting there.
Yeah, so just pick up your microphone from your computer and blah, blah, blah. And
right up.
And, yeah, you get an answer of what's going on. And it's almost instantaneous, you know.
Almost, yeah. Less than 2 minutes and you have a report.
Well, from the time they give the print, you save it and then it's, you know, bops out there. So you can't, like I said, you can lie to us with words, but there's something underneath your words, the way you say it, the sequence of the sounds that tell us whether or not you're lying. And I'm always amazed at people here in the office, and since we've been in this new building, we've doubled the office staff, and how many people lie and how they think they need to lie to stay out of trouble. You know, we should do a show on that. Starting with Dick Cheney.
Honestly, I think we've done a few of that. He was one of the top-ranking ones.
Yeah. So we're going to do things like what's your signature sound in later shows, how your body talks to you about your health and your relationships, and who you really are. And this computer program likely knows more about you than you do. And we sometimes answer questions that you didn't think to ask. In this series we've been doing, I think this is the third one, isn't it, that we've done in this series, we've talked about relationships and how important looks is as part of that. And then last week we talked about reasons for staying in a relationship and what people want in a relationship. Is looks more important than personality, I think is what we concentrated on last week. So our panel today is going to talk about the reasons for staying in the relationships they're in, how they got in that relationship, do they want to stay in the relationship. We are going to be taking calls. Heather, do you have those numbers?
You can call toll-free 877-270-8714 in the U.S. If you're outside of the U.S. in Canada, call toll-free 888-228-4494. On the direct line, it's 530-413-4515. And we've got a couple more numbers if you can't get through there. 530-413-4511 or 530-876-9026.
Lots of numbers. And if you forget all those, and you're not down quick enough, you can go to vbsradio.com. We will be taking calls, and I need to tell you, we're not going to be taking vocal profiles tonight. We are set up in a round table. We don't have the computer here with us. Our panel, Jessica, you've been with us before. You're a mother of an active 3-year-old daughter, a young professional in a management position. Been going through a rough spot in your relationship for about 2 years now.
That's true.
We've been talking about that. Decided to do a show. Nikki, a mother of 7, married for 10 years.
10 years.
10 years. I have written some stuff here. I don't know if you would like me to read it online. Do you care what I read?
I don't care.
Okay. Married for 10 years, and she's lost all trust in her husband. She wants him out of her life because he's making her so miserable, but at the same time continues to love what they once had together, and she misses that. Is that accurate? Can you even cry? You even cry here?
That's sad. That's my life.
Sheila, this is the first time you've been with us. You're 30-ish. A single working mother who has issues with the present man in her life. And you're just taking a little sabbatical from each other at this point. Heather, we're going to talk about you.
Okay.
Even though like co-host here, we're still going to do this. We know a lot about you already.
That's fine. I'm an open book.
Okay. You're a divorced mother.
Yep.
Of 2 years, who stayed in a pretty awful relationship for a lot of years.
For about 10 years.
So we're going to talk about that. Your boys are 7 and 12. You're looking for a partner now.
Yep.
You're looking for a partner with potential.
Exactly. And I've met plenty of them with no potential. So I'd like to turn that around. So maybe some people out there in our audience can have some good suggestions for
me. Should we give out your number on air?
Awful idea. Heather at vocalprofiling.com.
Now we're the dating connection. Okay.
We're going to talk about what you're looking for in a partner and what you're not looking for. I'm going to reveal some stuff about me. I've been married to the same man for 30-some years. I was trying to count it up, but I couldn't remember when I got married. Oh, that's really awful. There's been a lot of ups and downs, 3 kids, lots of grandchildren. Moved through a lot of tough times together. And I think every relationship has those tough times, and it really falls apart if you don't love each other. And, you know, you really, I don't think you can help who you love, but you can help what you do about it. And I think in a lot of young relationships, you end up having to grow up your partner. Mm-hmm. And I think having children grows up the female really quick. They have to be responsible. They take the major portion of the child rearing. So, Heather, you want to start? What did love have to do with it, as our intro song talked about? Did you really love this first guy you married?
I think I thought I did. I don't think I really knew what love was. I met him when we were in our early 20s, got married, I think I was 23, and I stayed married for a lot of years because I thought that's what I was supposed to do. Kind of had a life plan like all girls do, and got up to the point of graduating college and getting married, and once I got there, I was kind of stuck. What did I do next? You know, you don't ever plan to get divorced. You plan being married and in love forever, and it just didn't work out like that.
Well, I've been married, like I said, 30-some years, and I still don't know what love is. I question that when my daughter on the phone says, "Love you, Mom," you know, when she's saying goodbye. Well, I think if she loved me, she'd call me more, you know. What's love?
A different kind of love, you know, with your children. You know in your heart, of course, you love your children, but it's so different when you're with your mate or potential mate.
Did you fall out of love real quick or gradual?
No, it was gradual. He did a lot of things that was very hurtful to me, and I didn't want to fall out of love, but gradually over a period of, I'd say, 2 years, I had already mourned my relationship, and by the time I told him to get out, I was completely done, and I didn't feel bad about it in any way, shape, or form. I think that was the right decision. I don't want my boys to grow up thinking that is what you are supposed to do, is be in a bad relationship.
So you got out for them?
For me, I learned a lot about who I was as a person after I was divorced, and I like myself a lot more, actually.
We're going to come back and ask you questions like, what kind of a partner do you really want?
Okay.
Sheila, are you willing to go next and answer that same question? What does love have to do with your first serious relationship?
I've been divorced almost 2 years, and my ex-husband is a great, great guy. He's a great dad. he and I are still very good friends.
That's unusual. Very.
Yeah, we're very good friends. We call each other when we start dating somebody else, and we talk about how it's going to affect our daughter and things like that, and we co-parent very well. I think that I went through cancer, and it was just really, really stressful on us, and it made me step back.
Can you hold on and remember where you are?
Okay.
Feel it? We have a caller on line two. Caller, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hello.
How
you're
are
on
you?
The air. Do you have a comment, question?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
You're on the air with Sound Health Live. Do you have a question? Do you have a question or a comment?
I'm just really interested in finding out about your vocal profiling.
Okay, well, vocal profiling, we take about a 2-minute sample of your voice, and we can tell you what's going on in your life. It's very topic specific, like Sheila's talking about her first relationship, so we can look at how she really feels about her ex-husband and what's going on. Each of the frequencies of your voice tell us something else, and almost instantaneously after you give us that sample, there's a 3-4-page report bops out, and we email that to you. If you are interested in having that done, we usually do it on the air, but we're not doing it this evening. You can get in touch with Heather, H-E-A-T-H-E-R, at Vocal, V-O-C-A-L, Profiling, P-R-O-F-I-L-I-N-G, .com. And right now we are doing studies about relationship compatibilities. But if you have other questions, we can certainly address that at the same time. This computer program is for sale for you to use with you, your family, your clients, your neighbors. We have a beginning class, we have a health class that goes with it, and we have another class that deals with people's deception about who they are and if they're lying to you about something. So if you'd like to purchase the program, that's certainly available. We ask you to give us back data about information that you gain from that. And the class, when you buy your program, is free. At least the beginning class is free. So are you interested in becoming a client or using this in your own life?
I'm thinking of using it in both ways. So, I'll really keep paying attention. Thanks a lot.
Okay, we will sign you up for the class. Please get in touch with Heather at Vocal Profiling. Or go to our website, Nutra, N-U-T-R-A, sound, that's plural, NutraSound.com. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay, back to Sheila. You were talking about you really care about your ex. You get along well.
I went through cancer, and it was a little tough on us, and I started living in a little box, and you couldn't do this, and you couldn't do that because it wasn't healthy. And after doing that for about 2.5 years, I was like, done with this, and it put a lot of tension on our marriage. And for my daughter, I wanted her to see a relationship that was more loving, cuddling, you know, affection. And we didn't have that. And I didn't want her to think that that's how a relationship should be as she grew up.
Do you have that now?
No, I have a nightmare now.
I mean, with your ex, you have the loving and cuddling and touching now.
No, but we're very good friends. I mean, and we always have been. I don't think we've really ever had a fight. We didn't leave the marriage on bad terms. There weren't other people that we were involved with when we separated. I think that I wanted more. I thought I was going to die at one point. And I didn't want to live in a box anymore. I wanted to get up and go.
Your life was
and
boring?
You wanted more passion in your life.
I mean, the passion was gone. There was no affection. There was no passion. He didn't walk to the kitchen if I was making dinner and give me a kiss. And I didn't do that with him. And, you know, stopping on the side of the road and saying, man, my girlfriend or my wife would love those flowers, and it'll take me about 2 minutes to pick them, is huge. And men forget that. You know, you're together 2, 5, whatever years, and you get into this routine, and you forget that those little itty-bitty things
mean an awful lot, don't
are
they?
Are huge.
Yeah.
And women are guilty because they don't tell men what they need. We just get mad because we don't get it.
Men will say they don't understand.
Right.
They don't understand because the woman doesn't say.
Right.
But if you have to say it, then it seems kind of meaningless. You know, if you have to say, by the way, bring me flowers home because I love them, you know, where's the thought process?
But how many women do you know that say, and I'm guilty, say, oh, I don't like flowers, they die anyway.
Oh, yeah, I do that. Like, it's my birthday, don't worry about getting me a present. But I hope in the back of my mind it's a diamond necklace.
Why do you do that, Jessica?
Why do I, what? Why do I tell them?
Why do you think that they need to read your mind? Why don't you just tell them?
I don't know. I feel like maybe if they really truthfully love you and they know you and they pay attention to you, that those are things that just come naturally. And I think that maybe there's a man out there that understands that, because I know some romantic men, not ever been with any of them, but I know some.
I can tell you a story of my own life. The first 3 Christmases my husband and I were together, he got me nothing for Christmas. And every Christmas, I got him more and more, thinking if I just get him more, he'll think he'll get me something. You know, and the 3rd Christmas, and he got me nothing.
Oh,
and
gosh.
And I was crying, and he couldn't understand why I was upset. And I said, you didn't get me anything for Christmas. It was really stupid. But he said, did you want something?
Oh, my.
Wow.
So the next Christmas, I gave him a list of 26 things. Roller skates, rocking chair, electric skillet. I thought he would get 1 or 2 things. He got it all.
He had to make it for 3 years.
It's
awesome that he did that.
But when we talked about it, he said, well, I didn't want to get you something you didn't want. I didn't want to make a mistake. So we need to train them better, maybe.
I guess so.
And men think that kitchen appliances are a good gift.
I like kitchen appliances.
I got a girl home 1 year, and I was like, oh, this is the best gift I've ever got.
Well, I think if he really takes the time to get to know you, he's going to know
that.
They should know what you like and what you don't like.
They should know
Do
that.
Do we read their minds?
We try. I think we try.
We try way too hard.
That's how we get stuck in a relationship where you can't leave.
And that's when they call you crazy.
They tell us what they want. If Bill bought me a scroll saw, I would say, you bought this for you. What am I going to do with this? See, it's all individual or must
be. It is.
I love her person. Balls, drills.
We'll remember this for her birthday. We'll
Absolutely.
Get her nails. Jessica, since you put it, we got 2 divorced people and 2 people in rough relationships here. Jessica, are you willing to talk a bit about your relationship and your...
Yeah, I guess so. That's what we're here about.
I thought it'd be great.
My husband and I guess, met each other 6 years ago. And Nikki and I talked about this personally once, about how I thought fate kind of had to play a little bit in it. My parents live in different locations. My mother and stepfather moved to Pennsylvania. I stuck it out with a relationship that was really awful and just, you know, decided to stick it out in Ohio. And I moved from that relationship to a relationship that seemed better at the time, basically. I thought maybe he might be my soulmate. I remember I had this puppy, this husky dog that had bright blue eyes, and I named it Blue. And I had this convertible car that I named Blue Maui, and like all these, like blue was my favorite color. And then I remember when we got together and I told him my dog's name, he said, well, my family used to call me Blue growing up. And I thought, fate, right? This is fate.
Yeah.
You know, someone played a part in this, you know. So he did romantic things in the beginning. I mean, that was my first true date.
In the beginning,
that's where it is.
It's a clue.
He still brings flowers. He's always been good at bringing flowers. But there's a point, too, where the thought is lost because I'd like to hear it more. Like, to just say, you know what, like, in the beginning, I remember him telling his friends, I have the best woman on the entire face of the world, you know, like, she is wonderful. And I remember he used to brag about me. And it was because I was rushing around doing the housework and taking care, well, after we had our daughter, taking care of her and, you know, trying to keep the house up. And I think it just got comfortable to him is what it was. That's why he had the greatest woman on the face of the earth, because I made it easy for him. And then when I started kind of becoming a bit independent, we took a hiatus for a while. I became really independent through a backbone. And then all of a sudden, now we can't seem to meet eye to eye anymore, because I'm a little bit stronger of a person than I was when we first split up.
Does he think you're kind of a bitch now?
Absolutely.
Thank you. Do you think we should start being a bitch from the beginning and just keep him in
line? Lay it out there, and then you'll never have a boyfriend.
Well, you know, I think a lot of men have a need to be needed. And when they don't feel like they're needed anymore, I think they become a little bit resentful. I think probably everybody has a little bit of that.
That's true, I guess.
Well, you said he tried very hard in the first place. Was there an event? Was there a time cutoff?
As to when we split?
No, when it first became apparent to you that he wasn't attending to your needs.
My daughter was born.
Really?
Yeah. Because, and you, Sherry, can understand that. Like, in the beginning, like, I made a lot of changes. Like what you're saying, long, younger relationships and children come into play. You grow up really fast. And it's not like I was irresponsible in the beginning, but I wasn't as mature. And then I had my daughter, and I grew up, and I became a mom. And my life revolved around her.
Right.
And what I could never understand was why his life didn't revolve around her. It's not that he didn't love her as much as I love her. It's that the time spent that I spent with her was quality time. And to him, it just was, you know, as long as he told her he loved her, that was enough. It was, so I think right about the time that happened, I started getting frustrated because I was doing all the housework, everything, working a full-time job, considering going back to school, but knowing it was financially impossible, and in my home life it would have never worked, and taking care of the baby. I mean, it's not like a man can breastfeed, you know?
And the yard. And the cars.
I mowed the lawn. I do it all. I trim trees. Trust me, I learned how to repair all kinds of things in the house. And my husband is a contractor. You tell me why, you know, I have to deal with broken, I don't know, broken shower or a broken sink or anything of the sort.
I was married to a master mechanic, and I had to take my car to Midas to have the oil changed.
It's ridiculous.
I don't know. I can
change the oil and brakes, and I can work on my car just as well as a man can.
I need my oil changed.
I think that. The reason is because I was raised by my dad and my brother.
Yeah.
I lived with them, so I learned all that stuff.
One of the shifts I saw in you, Jessica, is not living for tomorrow, but creating a future for my daughter. That was the biggest shift, being able to look down the road, because there's this other life here that I want to be the best it can be.
That's right. I want her to see what I've gone through, which wasn't that bad, but know that she can be better. You know, I don't want to be stuck in a life that's not pleasing I want her to know that her mother did it, and she can too,
right?
Because I didn't start college right out of high school. I got involved in a relationship. I got married. I had a kid. Now I'm 25 and going back to school, but I'm going to prove to her that it can be done.
One of the things I see you saying, or hear you saying, is that if you were really you, you would have never gotten as far as marriage. You know, given who we are. Didn't you say that?
Yeah. Oh. I tell you what, I remember in high school, and even right out of high school, I said, I will absolutely never get married, absolutely never have children.
Really?
Absolutely. I was so against it. I was so independent, I didn't need any of that. You know, but then it just happened. It just happened, and then life kind of took a rain check for a while, you know.
We're going to talk to Nikki, but I'm going to come back and ask you guys really important questions. Why did you settle? What kind of mate do you really want? Have you thought about that? And how we get into these situations without being aware. So I'm just giving you a heads up, because Nikki has an incredibly interesting story that is probably going to take our attention, and we're not going to be able to get back on track. So I put my thoughts out there before him. Nikki's been married for 10 years, and can I just let you describe the relationship, or you want me to, or...
You go right ahead.
Okay. Nikki is an incredibly wonderful, loving mother. She goes out and plays with her kids. She has 7 of them. It's a combined family, and then you have one 8-year-old together with your husband. And Nikki is resourceful, and one of the best things about Nikki is she's very empathetic. She can see what you need and hand it to you. I can't even get a sentence out of my mouth without her providing what I was going to ask for. And I think that's been incredibly detrimental to her relationship with her husband, because she sees what he needs and he delivers it. And it's not that she treats him like their children, but I've known Nikki a long time. And she was in a very horrible relationship before this, in which she was physically and mentally abused, was married to an older person that didn't know how to appreciate how gorgeous and vivacious she was, and moved from that into getting out of another bad relationship to go to that one. I mean, it's not been an easy life. And out of that, she still comes up lively and whole and helpful. And she's a joy to be around most of the time. She can get a little bitchy sometimes.
not but, Nikki, no.
But most of the time, she's an absolute joy. And what I see her going through now breaks my heart, because of the pain of a husband who continuously has affairs and expects her to accept that, sort of like, if you loved me, and this is okay. He's not upfront with her, and when she finally gets fed up, she says, go away, I don't want to hurt this bad, and he thinks he's losing her. He comes right back to her face and won't leave her alone. Won't leave. It's almost as if at this point she has another child on her hands that wants what he wants, and he doesn't give a shit about what Nikki wants. And I just see him making her absolutely miserable, and she just doesn't see a way out of this. She wants to love him. I can see that she wants to love him, but he just hurts her so bad she has to shut down and not even feel. Is that pretty accurate of what?
That's good. That's good. You taught me some things.
And she says that with a smile. What would you really like to do with your relationship with him? It's 10 years, and you still care, but you don't want to. And that we were talking today about some kind of comfort zone. That do they stay because it's a habit? Why do you think he's torturing you? What's his motive for torturing you this way? He can't. Well, I'm going to just be very opinionated here. He can't love you and do the things he does to you. I think he loves you loving him. But do men have this really incredibly distorted idea about what loving somebody is? We talked today about this habit thing. Do you feel like you're staying out of habit, or he's staying out of habit, or it's a family out of habit, or staying for the kids? Or
I think he's used to me needing him and loving him and him worshiping him, and he can't get it through his head that he's destroyed that. He doesn't understand that that's gone, and I can't feel it anymore. It's feeling the love for him is worse than just about anything. The future with him seems like despair. I can't see a bright side no matter what were to happen. There's no I don't see any happiness in the future, no matter what. If I could, I mean, I look at him and I try to feel. And then I think, yeah, but tomorrow when he thinks that everything's all back together, then I'm going to be miserable, wanting and needing and ugh. I hate the cycle. I'm finished with the cycle. I'm done with it. I'm ready to cut my ties and move forward.
Do you hate him?
No, I don't hate him. And he is a good person to everyone but me. He's a wonderful person to everyone but me, and people like him.
I've noticed when he's been gone over, you know, some periods here in the recent past, I think you're at your happiest.
Yes. It's a relief not to feel like you've got to win somebody over or entertain them so they don't go somewhere else or keep them satisfied, because if you don't, then they're going to
find you
somewhere else.
Yeah.
And it's a relief not to do that. It feels good not to do that.
So you've lost trust.
I have absolutely zero trust. If he told me the sky was blue, I would have to go outside and look.
Whoa.
Yeah.
One of the things that has happened in Nikki's relationship, and I think in a lot of women's relationship, is a man tries to make it their fault. Oh, you're crazy for thinking that, and you're nuts. And because they want what they want without regard to your feelings, I'm talking universal your, they tend to make it your fault. And you went through that, Nikki. How did that feel?
Oh, that was awful. He told me I was paranoid and that I was psychotic and I was crazy and I needed a counselor. And then I thought, maybe I am. Maybe that voice message from that other girl is my imagination.
They all play that crazy card, don't they? Well, no. You're crazy. Yeah. They all do that.
That was awful, but then somebody I care about a lot said, what are you doing listening to that? And then I started to see through his manipulation. Instead of when he was like, oh, I love you and you're just thinking this way, I could see. I mean, it was like that Claritin commercial where they take the stuff off the screen and you can see it clearly. I could see it and I was like, what?
Really?
You're dumb.
Why do you think they say, oh, I'm really sorry, I know that hurt you, I won't do it again, and then they go do it again?
Because you always forgive them.
Yeah, they know they can get away with it at that point.
And you don't stand your ground. And I can say this because as I'm sitting here, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so what I'm trying to get out of now. And I wasn't even married to it.
So when you are thinking about a mate, I mean, do you really want one? Do you want a mate, Heather?
I would like to have a partner.
A partner?
Yeah.
Sheila?
Man, I think I'm going to fly solo for a while. I mean, my last 8 months in this relationship have been rough.
Well, I could tell you that even though Bill and I have a reasonably good relationship, when he's gone a few days, I love it. And so it's very peaceful. I don't have to be concerned about the TV being too loud. He drives me crazy with the TV. And just to have the quiet. So it's having that freedom and feeling good because they're gone isn't necessarily because you don't care about them. It's just
a need for space.
Yeah,
for your own space. That's what I said today when I asked him to go to this mom. I was like, I need a break. Bottom line, I need some space.
Nikki, yours just won't leave. He just keeps coming back.
He thinks that if he says he's going to try and we're going to work it out, that I'm going to jump on that because I have in the past. I said, okay, let's try. How great. So he thinks that if he says it and gives me the lip service, then I'm going to fall back into it.
Do you still love this man?
No. I don't think I do.
Really?
I've tried. Looked at him.
When did that, something click in your head and all of a sudden and you're like, okay, I really don't love him anymore?
I think for 2 years I've tried. I've been working on trying to, and every time he doesn't understand what I'm saying. I mean, how can you say more plainly, don't lie to me? And then when they lie, they don't understand what you're
upset. So,
I think it's taken 2 years, like it took you 2 years.
It did.
I'm at the point where I can't be miserable anymore, and loving you makes... I told him, I said, I pray every day that God takes this love for you that I have out of my heart. He finally did, and I don't have it.
Yeah, I think there's a certain point in your relationship when it's towards the end when it finally gets to, like, I'd rather be alone and by myself than continue to hurt this much.
Yeah.
Because nothing's worth that.
Like, I love you, but go to hell.
You know? Pretty much.
I think there's a big difference in loving somebody and being in love with them, too.
Huge difference. Yeah.
Because you love them and not want anything to happen to them, but still not be in love, man, woman kind of stuff. Why did you stay to this point, Nikki? I'm going to ask you the same question.
Well, just, I didn't want to fail, and my kids, and I didn't want to fail. And
yeah.
A lot of reasons.
I don't think it was you that failed, though. I think it was him.
It takes two people. Maybe I was too demanding. Maybe I'm not.
You can't
be satisfied. Maybe. Everybody. There's two people and everything.
Baloney.
Yeah.
Baloney.
Cheating. Yeah. I mean, it takes two people, but usually it's one party for the marriage isn't involved.
I think I told Jessica this one. He said to me once, I know you won't cheat on me, not because you love me, but because your conscience wouldn't allow you to.
Hello? Hi, Carl.
Hi, this is Beverly Yoder.
Hi, Beverly. You're on the air.
Hi, Mom. Yes, I know. Hi, Jessica.
Mother. We're about to ask Jessica a question. Do you have a comment?
I'm not sure. I was just getting on the air, so I'm not sure what I missed in between.
Oh, we were just talking about why people stay in relationships that aren't satisfying.
Personally, I think it can be a fear of the unknown, and sometimes it's just easier to stay with what we know than to really strike out on our own and deal with all the stress and the fear and the anxiety that comes with it. It's more comfortable to stay where we are, what we know.
Are you in a relationship that is not satisfying?
Sometimes.
Sometimes. And that I believe that's a biggie, because it's good sometimes that we stay.
Right. You know, I think sometimes we expect too much from relationships, and I think that we also have to look at where people have come from and who they are and how our culture socializes men, how it socializes women, the specific family that people have grown up in. You know, especially men. Men are socialized early on to step the ceilings. That's just what our society does to men. But yet we expect them to be sensitive and share their feelings after they're sent a message all their lives that that's inappropriate, that's not manly, that's not strong. So, you know, really, I think, a difficult position for men. Doesn't mean they can't. I think some men certainly are sensitive and, you know, can do that. But it depends a lot on how they're raised.
I know, and putting down some adjectives of what I wanted from my relationship, I wanted my husband to be both gentle and strong. And, boy, that's a hard place to be.
Yeah, we sometimes send mixed messages about what the expectations are. Absolutely. A really good book to read is Raising Cain. It talks about the emotional life of boys, you know, and what we do early on. Research has shown that with young infants, boys get more upset and show more emotions than female infants do. But, you know, at a very early age, we start imposing what we think they should be, you know, to suck it up and don't cry and be strong and all these kind of things. And I think it really puts men in a difficult position. And, you know, other men continue that, you know, if someone is sensitive, then they get made fun of or they have to hide it. I mean, it just continues.
Are you a therapist, Beverly?
I'm a counselor.
A counselor. Did you have a question for our panel, or you just want to provide us with some great wisdom?
Oh, I don't know if I've got any great wisdom. I really wanted to call in. Jessica wanted me to call in, so here I am. I called in.
Okay. Have you been in more than one relationship in your life? Serious?
Oh, yes. Yeah, Jessica's father. I was in a relationship with him. And, you know, it just, I think that sometimes after we get married, we fall into these roles, and we sometimes, the relationship gets lost. And we had a big stressor in our marriage when our daughter died. We lost a daughter, and that, I don't know, that just really changed me. It kind of made me think that life is very short, and wanted to go out there and see what there was. I don't know, it was a very confusing time. So, no ill will toward him today, although it was an ugly thing to go through, unfortunately. But, you know, I think he was doing the best he could.
I wonder why in our society it has to get really, really bad before we leave. Why can't we just say, this is not working, and I think we should just be friends? But it has to get so bad.
Yeah. Well, I think you have different... personal issues. I can understand, you know, we had children and I wanted to move, and that would have meant his lost contact with him. So I can certainly understand why it got ugly. I can't say it would have been any different had I been on the other side of it. So I certainly understand what he did, what he felt like he had to do. So I mean, unfortunately, because of all the litigation and the nastiness on his part.
Are you in a relationship now?
Oh, yeah. I've been married quite a few years. I'm not sure how many. I always forget.
Did you go after a specific kind of person, or
I did. You know, and I dated quite a few men and younger men. I wanted someone who's very supportive of my education, and my husband has been instrumental in helping me get my PhD all along the way. He's always taken jobs and looked out, you know, see if they had a program where I could get my bachelor's or get my master's. And he's always made sure that whenever he took a job that I could go there tuition-free. So, you know, he's been very supportive of that. And my education was very important to me.
I think you just hit on
something. He's not perfect, but neither am I.
I think you just hit on something. I think I've heard this from every person on the panel. What's missing is that personal support.
Mhm. Yeah, but then, you know, when you make your needs known, it's there. I just think sometimes they have a hard time reading that in women. I really think sometimes they just like don't get it, which some people mentioned before. So, I don't want to monopolize your conversation here. So,
okay, so you want to leave us with the idea that we just need to be more honest with what we want then?
Yeah, I think so, and I think sometimes just be aware of the big picture, how we socialize men in general, the families that men have grown up in, and sometimes you're just different. Doesn't mean anyone's any better or any worse, you're just different, and it's something that just doesn't fit anymore. I also think people go through periods of psycho-spiritual growth, and if both people don't grow together, then one person is in a different place than the other person, and the things that used to work don't fit anymore. So it's not really, you know, anyone's fault or anyone's to blame. Things just happen.
So the ability to compromise is really, really important.
Yeah, if you can. If you can, but, you know, life's very short, so you certainly have to be happy with what you're doing and happy with the relationship you're in.
Well, do you have any advice for Jessica here?
No. Her mother does not go there. Here's been my advice for Jessica. I love her, and I'll support her in whatever decision she makes with her life.
Great. Love you, Mom.
That's great. Thank you for calling. Thank you for calling.
I love you too, baby. Okay, well, it was nice to chat with you ladies. Enjoy the rest of your show.
Thanks. Bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Nikki and Jessica both, I think from what I'm hearing from you, you don't have any support and there's no compromise. He gets what he wants and you get the leftovers.
Yes. And I think Jessica feels the same way. Because we talk about this, happy with the pebbles they throw at us, just gobbling them up. And
yeah, even though it's not enough, it's still okay. Yeah. It's something, yeah.
Do you know what you want?
from a relationship now?
I think what I've learned from the relationships that I have had is that I'm always looking for the missing portion of the relationship I'm currently in. Because the first relationship, like my first relationship before I went to this next one was, there was no romance, I guess, really in it. And when I got with my now husband, whatever we are, he took me on my first date, and I was like, oh, I'm in love, you know? And now I'm tired of being the independent one and the financially stable one. Now I want someone to start taking care of me financially. And I know that's unfair, but you know what? That really does account for a lot because I've put a lot of time and effort into doing that in the relationship, and I feel like someone should do it for me. So the next person I want is going to take care of me, put me first.
Ooh, you're going to be a taker this time.
Yeah, where's my sugar daddy?
You think that one's going to work? I think
it's not going to work. That's the thing. It's not going to work. It's going to be better than what I had.
You're too independent for it to work anyway.
It won't.
It won't.
But it'll feel so darn good.
You will not be able to stand it. You will not be able to stand it.
I'll handle it for a good month, and then I'll be on my way.
Okay, let's get some adjectives going here, because I started this. What do I really want in a man? I'll start, and we'll go around. I want somebody who'll talk to me. Realistically. Heather?
I would like somebody who's intelligent and can deal with me on a lot of different levels.
But if they were not intelligent but a great lover, is that okay?
Maybe for a couple nights. For the long haul, no.
Okay, by intelligent, are you talking about a PhD intelligent or somebody with some
common
sense?
Not necessarily. A little bit of both, and I think that's out there. I have a lot of different interests, not necessarily that they need to have the same interests, but at least, you know, can join in the conversation. When I have something I think is important, they can understand it.
So you, people who have commonalities with you. Yeah, same interests.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Sheila, you have a adjective you want to put in the pot?
I want someone who that is stable. I think I own my own home, I own my own vehicles, I stand on my own 2 feet. So somebody who also has that I don't need to feel, that we complement each other.
But you don't have to take care of them.
Yeah, we take care of each other.
Okay, what's a word we can
say? Security.
Security?
Yeah.
It's more than security. She wants them to stand on their own 2 feet. She wants it to be an equal relationship.
Well,
you're not the mama.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a housewife. Anybody I meet, I tell them, I'm not a housewife. You use the bathroom, I don't clean the bathroom after you. We can both clean bathrooms. We can both pick up after ourselves. You dirty dishes, you can clean them too. I'm not a housewife.
We can have a whole conversation about putting the lid down, right?
Absolutely, that's very true. That does bother me too, by the way.
I mean, just the respect.
Oh, that totally bothers me.
My daughter talks about it.
She's what, three?
Three, and she'll say, now you got to make sure you put the lid down.
Like, I don't
put the lid down, it's not me.
How many times have you gotten up in the middle of the night, it'd be pitch black, you go in, and you sit down, and you...
Cold.
Who wants that in the middle of the night? I know I don't.
Okay, put the lid down. We'll put that in our questionnaire. Nikki, do you have someone you can trust, I guess?
I don't want a man.
Oh! Okay, we won't touch that. When you first started looking for a partner, did you write down your list of whatever?
No.
Because all of us who saw you thought Chris was perfect for you. I guess he really didn't show his true self. Like Jessica was saying, you can't show your true self or you're not going to get a partner.
Yeah.
So you think what's missing from your relationship is honesty?
Yes.
Honesty.
I have a question.
Okay.
So if a relationship starts out really bad, does that mean it gets better in the end? And does it be an all...
Is that how we should look at it?
Well, I don't know. I mean,
if it starts out bad, why are you still in it?
We're out of time. Look at this.
It's not bad, but rocky.
It's horrible. We are out of time. I love this.
conversation about what kind of partners we are looking for, about why we give up ourselves and don't think we're real enough. We can start a little bit of music there low. Why we don't think if people really saw us as who we really are in the beginning that we'd have a relationship at all. Get in touch with us about the invoice, just the letter N, invoice program. We want to teach you about it. We want to help you bring it to your community. We want you to help us bring it to the world. We really believe that it brings your inner secrets out so people can know themselves, know who they really are, and not just stumble around in relationships and jobs and whatever. Nutrasounds.com or Heather at vocalprofiling.com. If you have comments, questions, you can email us at radio@vocalprofiling.com, and we will continue this conversation. I bet we continue it after the show here. There's a lot of information about who you really are, and I think we've lost that. And we want to help bring that back so that we can be who we are at our very core and begin to live our lives that way. Thanks for joining us. Thank you, Heather.
You're welcome.
Thank you, panel.
Ready someplace I've got called to be.